Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft here, and welcome to this video series on building web pages with Microsoft Web Matrix. Now before we get started, there are two concepts that I want to cover. One is, what are the pieces that combine to make the Web Matrix stack? And the other is, what's unique about Web Matrix that you might choose it instead of other web development technologies? So here you can see a visual representation of the four basic parts that combine to make the Web Matrix stack. The first is the Web Matrix tool. Now, the Web Matrix tool is an IDE. It's not Visual Studio, and it doesn't replace Visual Studio. You can and probably will use Web Matrix and Visual Studio side by side. But you don't need Visual Studio. In fact, Web Matrix, like all of the other pieces of the stack, are completely free, and that might be an incentive for you. So Web Matrix is an IDE, but one of the things that the Web Matrix tool team has done is they've heavily leveraged the work that we've done with the Web Platform Installer and added the ability inside the Web Matrix tool to let you browse the web applications gallery and choose an application to download and configure and use that as the starting block for your custom website. So using the Web Matrix tool, I can say, find the category of open source application that I'm interested in starting with. Maybe I'll choose the Orchard Project. The Web Matrix tool will go get the Orchard Project and download it from the web, help me configure it so that the Web Matrix project is there, installed, configured, and ready for me to go, and then I can start doing building on top of that open source application. And the Web Matrix tool through this installer process is not restricted to any particular technology, so you don't have to use ASP.NET web pages. You could use PHP, for example. You could go download WordPress and get started that way if you chose to. Now, another interesting installer technology that's available from inside the Web Matrix tool is NuGet. NuGet is a package manager, and you can access NuGet from the command line, but for Web Matrix tool users, you have access to the NuGet package manager from inside an application that's running inside the IDE. And NuGet is for development technology. You can find and download, install, and configure bits of technology that you can use during your development process. And we'll obviously demonstrate both of those as we progress. Now the last thing that's interesting in the Web Matrix tool is this concept of default templates. They're a collection of templates. These are not open source applications per se. They're just templates that you can use to jumpstart your development. Now, for example, the basic Web Matrix template gives you some directory structure, a basic page template. It gives you some basic functionalities like ASP.NET membership. And one of the other nice things is that most of the templates use both jQuery and are HTML5 compliant. So you're really starting with a modern sort of page-centric development model that embraces the new technology of the web. Let's next talk about web pages themselves. What are ASP.NET web pages? Well, ASP.NET web pages is a term that we use to describe this model of development where you have a single file, and you can use either VB or C# as your development language. So for C# you would have a file that's .cshtml. For VB you would have a file whose extension was .vbhtml. And in that file is a collection of your markup, your client-side code, and your server-side code. And the Razor syntax is a very elegant model that lets us pretty intuitively switch between markup and server-side code. One of the things that the Razor syntax exposes is a simplified collection of APIs, even though it's full .NET under the covers. So if you have to, you can get to anything that's available in the .NET framework that's appropriate for web development. There's a collection of simplified APIs to make things like database access much easier from a syntactical perspective. There's also a really interesting concept of helpers. Now, helpers are these objects that you can create that wrap really more complex functionality and allow them to be called from your CSHTML page with a single line of code. And one of the cool things about helpers is that they're available. You can create them and use them both in CSHTML or VBHTML pages as well as ASP.NET MVC3 applications. And of course, another thing to note is that ASP.NET web pages are built on top of ASP.NET MVC. So even though you don't have to do anything MVC oriented, it's nice to know that MVC is under the covers and I can get down there if I need to. Next, the database that is embedded by default, that's used by default by the Web Matrix tool, is SQL Compact. Now, there's some interesting things about SQL Compact. Unlike some of the other embeddable databases that you might use, SQL Compact is compatible with the full-blown enterprise version of SQL, but it's file-based. So I can run it from the bin, from my bin folder, which means that if I'm using a shared hosting environment, I don't have to get a SQL add-on. It's just part the code that runs the database engine, if you will, actually is part of my application. It's file-based, so I can move the actual files that store the data easily when I deploy them. I don't have to do backup and restore, or I don't have to script the database and then populate it with data. I just move that file from my development scenario to my production scenario. There's a SQL Compact designer that's built into the Web Matrix tool, which makes things easy and productive. And of course, lastly, when you deploy, you can decide to deploy your SQL Compact database, or you can easily migrate to a full-blown version of SQL if your application would require that. Last, let's look at IIS Developer Express. Now, unlike the Visual Studio Web Development Server, sometimes referred to as Cassini, the Web IIS Developer Express is a fully compatible version of IIS. Now, this is really important because there are lots of things that we couldn't do with the built-in web server of Visual Studio. But it still has the security attributes of the Visual Studio Web Development Server. So things like it fires up on demand, so it starts itself when you need it. It can run against a dynamically allocated port, so you don't have some of the security concerns that some environments have when running the full-blown version of IIS, on multiple development boxes. It can run as non-admin, so this works the same as production. In fact, it goes in the programs, installs in programs files. So that makes it really convenient for doing development, and we can get into some of the more advanced things that we can do with the full-blown version of IIS because we're no longer restricted by the limited feature set of the old development server. So hopefully that exposes what all of the various pieces of the Web Matrix stack are. Now, again, the reason that you might choose this is now from Microsoft and from other vendors, there are a collection of choices that you could make when you're deciding how to build your web application. Web Matrix, first of all, there's a low barrier of learning entry, so it's easy for folks that have some knowledge about HTML to get started with. But it doesn't stop there. There are lots of folks that I've been talking to that are actually starting to build full-blown websites using Web Matrix because of this page-centric model. So where this fits relative to other Microsoft technologies, at least from my personal perspective, is that Web Forms abstracts all the plumbing of the web. And that was great, especially early on. And even today, if you don't need to have access to that, the Web Forms abstraction makes things really productive. So if you're doing forms-oriented applications development, Web Forms is still the right choice for you. After Web Forms, Microsoft released ASP.NET MVC, which uses the Model View Controller Gang of Four pattern and provides you with easy testability. You can use test-driven development as your development process if you want to. Has really strong separation of concerns. However, for lots of websites that have some functionality, that's overkill. And there's a level of complexity that can either retard productivity, depending on what your needs are, and also some folks don't want to be bound to the constructs of the MVC model. So the page-centric model can be uniquely appropriate if you're building a website that is page-oriented, that has, but you still need some programmed functionality in that website. So with that, let's go ahead, jump into Web Matrix, take a tour of the tool, and see how we could get started. So the first thing you need to do is actually download and install the Web Matrix stack. So you can do that by going to Microsoft.com, whack Web Matrix, and clicking on the Download Now button. When you do that, you get redirected to the installer page, and it'll fire up the web platform installer. Now, you're going to click on yes. I'm not going to because I've already installed the product, but you're going to walk through all the steps. Basically, you'll get a screen that says gives you a list of things that you can install. You're going to click the Add button next to Web Matrix. The platform installer will figure out what the dependencies are, install the entire stack, and then in your Start menu and all programs, you'll have a folder for Microsoft Web Matrix. Now, one of the things that's cool that you can do once you've installed Web Matrix is if you have a directory that has CSHTML pages in it or just HTML pages, you can right-click on that folder and say, open as a website with Microsoft Web Matrix. So you can actually just open an HTML site and rename that HTML page to CSHTML or VBHTML if you're working with the VB syntax, and then start working with that as a Web Matrix website. So that's pretty cool. You can also fire up Web Matrix, and we're going to take a look at the ways that we can start. So one of the things I can do is I can say, hey, show me my sites. So these are sites that you've already created. Or I can just browse and go find a folder that has either a Web Matrix site or just an HTML site if I want to. But then the more exciting parts are, first we can say start from the web gallery. Right? So what that's going to do is via an RSS feed, it's going to go out and actually fetch the collection of applications that are available in the website gallery. So notice here, one of the interesting things about this is these are all different kinds of applications. Right, .NET Nuke is a ASP.NET application. WordPress is a PHP application. Let's see, what else do we have here? Subtext is a blogging engine written in ASP.NET. Right, so there's a whole collection. We're going to say, maybe we'll choose CMSs here. Right, there's Drupal, there's Moodle, Sitefinity. DropThings is interesting. Right, we could add Microsoft Orchard if we wanted to. Right? So the interesting thing here is I can pick, and it doesn't matter what technology is, anything that is supported inside IIS, I can select here from inside the gallery. The other thing that I could do, though, is I could say, let's start from a template. I'm going to build really a custom application. I could create an empty site. Starter site is the one that's more commonly going to be used, or I could pick one of the other templates. Right? So let's select the starter site. I'm going to say, call it Joe's Starter Site. Go ahead and click on OK. And we'll just take a tour of the IDE a little bit and look at some of the syntax. So note here, first thing, this tells me that the site started successfully. Right? So that means that IIS Express is running. And I can say, go ahead and fire up the site. And here you can see this is my default page. If you've been working with ASP.NET technology before, you sort of know this look and feel. Note here, I've got a couple of pages. I can go to the About page. Membership is wired in by default, so I can go ahead and register for the site if I want to. So we have a basic site. Notice here, there are four selections here. Site, files, databases, and reports. Let's explore some of the features that are available here. First, we're looking at site. Notice here, it gives us some information. Here's the URL that we're running on. So this is the dynamically assigned IP address, 4480. Here's the physical path to the directory where my site lives. Right? I can quick start. I can go to browse your files or manage databases from here. I can also set up remote publishing for my location. If I don't have a hoster, I can say, hey, go find me a hoster, and I can see one of the hosters that's available as part of the hosting program that supports ASP.NET Web Matrix hosting, and that's useful. Or I can also tell the Web Matrix ASP.NET team what I'd like to see them add or make feature requests or bug notifications all directly here from inside the Web Matrix tool. All right, so one of the cool things I can do also is I can look and I can see the history of the requests. So from a debugging perspective, I can look at actually what's happening when I'm interacting with that application. And lastly, I can work with the settings for this particular website. Right. I might want to change the port number. I can work with SSL, right? And that's really interesting from a test and debugging perspective. That can be more difficult to do in other environments. I can also turn PHP on if I want to. And then, of course, I can look at the specific pages. Now, if I switch to files mode, I can see the directory of files. Notice here, I've got some organization. App data is where the .sdf, the SQL Compact repository that includes my membership, etc. Here's the secure directory for account information. Notice here we have these layout pages, and we're going to explore all the syntax as we move forward. I can add a site, add a file to my site very easily. Notice if I right-click, I can open the default, cut, copy, paste, rename. All right, so for example, if I wanted to rename my database file, I could do that simply by right-click and rename. Or I can go into databases. Notice here I have my starter site. So this is my database designer. Notice these are the tables that are available. If I double-click, I can see the actual table itself. And I can make other connections if I want to. So I can connect to a remote database, either in a SQL Server instance on my machine or somewhere else in my development environment if I like, if I choose to. Right. So notice as I change, my launch bar changes. The menu items are change as well. Notice if I don't have SQL Server, I can just install it, or I can migrate easily using the tool. So you'll see there's a lot of functionality that's built into the tool that's pragmatic for page-oriented website developers. And then lastly, reports is kind of interesting. I can run, for example, an SEO report for my site, and we'll do that in another video. But the point here is that there's this extensible reporting mechanism, so we'll build additional reports over time, and third-party providers might build them. You might even provide custom reports that you want your developers to be able to run inside your WebMatrix project. So that's a tour of the WebMatrix tool itself. Now let's go ahead and start doing a little bit of development looking at some of the basic syntax. So let's go back into the Joe's Starter Site application that we generated from one of the default templates and look a little bit at syntax, then we'll run the site and we'll see what's interesting from there. So here we're in the default.css.html page, and you'll notice notice this text: ASP.NET web pages make it easy to build powerful .NET based applications for the web. Let's go ahead and run this and see. Here's that text, but where did all the rest of this stuff come from? Well, note here two things. First of all, page.title equal welcome to my website. So there's this interesting thing. There is a page object and there is a title attribute, and it can be set here in the code block of my CSHTML page. Now notice here the code block, so we don't have to do sort of open open angle at ASP or whatever. Makes it very elegant to just hop into and out of code, and we'll see this throughout all of our WebMatrix development. The other thing we have here is this layout object, which we're setting to underscore site layout.cshtml. So if we look over here, we can see there's a file underscore site layout.cshtml, and if we open this up, we'll see there's the layout for our page. So for example, this is where we output the page title using page.title, which we set here in default.cshtml. Notice here we're just saying the at sign href, so this is a little bit of code. We're going to resolve this CSS file. We're also going to resolve this icon file that we want to use for our page. Right, these all take place in the header, and then down here we're using this same sort of format. Notice the code here. So we have an at, we just put at, and then we start coding. If websecurity.isAuthenticated, so a very easy API to access ASP.NET's membership, we can just find out, is the current user authenticated? If they are, then we're going to give them access to some of the account functionality by adding hrefs, basically links, to either change the password or log out. Or if they're not logged in, so if web security is authenticated is not true, then we're going to fall to the else statement, where we're going to output a couple of links for the user to either log in or register. Right. And down here at the bottom, notice we're picking up the current year, calling at, right? So going into code mode, at datetime.now.year. That's going to be output as part of the copyright. And then right here, It says at render body. So what that basically does is say all the stuff that exists in the page that included me should be inserted here. All right, super. If we look at the about page, we have a similar construct. Now, another thing to note here, if we look at, there's also a file underscore app start, right? So in our case, setting up the connection to the database, right? So the starter site, user profile, user ID. So if, by the way, you went to change the name of that file, so you didn't like starter site as the SDF file name, you'd want to change the name here as well. Notice there's no use of an extension, right? It defaults to the SDF extension. That makes migration easier. So that's the basic construct for the page syntax, and we'll be exploring the page syntax in much greater detail as we move on. You can also, if you want to, go in and look at all the CSHTML pages for the account functionalities, and that's a great way to really sort of jumpstart your learning of the CSHTML syntax. Now, let's go ahead and run this again. So I'm going to highlight the default.cshtml page because that's the page that I want to run. And notice here, there's something else that I might want to do. Right? And I'm just going to let you know about this. And we're going to explore it in some additional detail later. But notice the first thing here is it tells us is that I've gone to underscore admin, and it's defaulted to this register .cshtml page, but I just went to my application WAC underscore admin. And now it's telling me that in order to access the admin pages for this application, I need to create a password. So I'm just going to create a password. Next, it's going to tell me that it's created a file. Right? So this says, for security reasons, your password hash is saved in a file name underscore password config in the app data WAC admin folder of your site. To fully enable site administration, rename the password file by eliminating that underscore at the beginning. Now, the reason for this is, you know, it's just a security feature. You don't probably want to deploy this this functionality, or, you know, you want at least not to have it deployed as activated by default. Right? So if we refresh, we can see that we now have an admin folder. And I want to rename that password.config file by getting rid of that leading underscore. Right? Now, once I've done that, I can switch back to my browser, click on the Click Here link, enter the password that I just set up, and now I'm in the package manager. Right? So there are no packages that are installed. I can install from an online feed if I want. So let's go ahead and click on that. Now, notice, these are the default packages. So ASP.NET Web Helpers Library. Package contains web helpers such as CAPTCHA validation, Twitter profile, Gravatars, etc. A quick edit helper, a Twitter helper, a URL shortener, Azure storage helper. And we'll look at these. We just click on install if we wanted to use them in this particular WebMatrix application. Now, we're looking at the ones that are online, right? So we can check for ones that might have been updated. Or see the ones that are already installed. Notice here the source is default. So these are ASP.NET Web Matrix specific things. I can just pick one, choose install. In my case, I'm going to choose cancel. If we change source from default to default all, wait till you see what we get. Now if we scroll down a little bit, look here, we can see 34 pages of things that are available. Now some of these might be application specific. They might be specific to ASP.NET MVC or some other technology, but interesting to know that they're all there, but we can filter them just by selecting source all, source default instead of default all to look at the ones that are web matrix specific. Right? So we can also add additional sources. So for example, if your company wants to create a repository on its own intranet, you can just add that package source create your own repository, or you can use third-party ones, whatever you like. So it's very flexible. So that's the basics of the syntax and of the package manager. Now let's move on and see what else we have in developing this ASP.NET page. So before we conclude this introductory video, let's just add one bit of functionality. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to right-click and say copy the default.css.html page, and I'm going to paste it just to have a look at how we might start extending on the default site. And here, let's add a page named contact. Now, I'm going to open contact. We're not actually going to implement the contact form yet, but we're going to add it to our site. So I'm going to change the page title to Contact Us, and then I'm going to say, please send us your thoughts, our website. Now, of course, we want folks to be able to get to this, so I'm going to go into Site Layout, and you'll notice here we have these menu items. I'm going to grab one of them and make a copy. Oops. And instead of about, it's going to be contact. Now, notice that there's some routing intelligence that's already built in, so I don't have to specify the file name extension in my href. All right, I'll go ahead and save that. And then go and run the default page again. Now you can see there's the Contact Us link because we added it to our layout. And if I click on that, you'll notice we've picked up the page title, and the page title has been echoed by virtue of the retrieval in the site layout. So that's just a quick look. We just added one page and added that page to our menu. Throughout the rest of these videos, we'll see about using the various functionality, both coding in the ASP.NET Web Matrix way, as well as using the helpers and other features that are available in the entire ASP.NET Web Matrix stack. ¶¶